Okay, so I lost it.
Cool. Ms. Dyster?
Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. With that gavel, I have just convened the Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development for April the 5th, 2017. We are gathered together today for a work session on House Bill 5036, the Oregon Racing Commission. And before I turn this over to Ms. Dyster, for the benefit of our new colleagues, could you please, I think this will be the first budget you guys have passed out, would you please walk through at a fairly high level what the procedure is, what they should expect, and this budget in its process is no different from the more complicated ones, but I think it would help you understand what's coming and be more fully participatory as we move through.
Okay.
Thank you.
Co-chairs and members, and I'm going to look this way because that's...
We're the new guys.
There you go. Certainly no disrespect, but so basically, as Mr. Bender explained way back when you were getting your committee orientation, the Legislative Fiscal Office gives you recommendations on budgets, and so what I'm going to be doing here today is walking through my recommendation with you step by step, and we're taking it in chunks of the various places where I will need a motion for approval, and then we'll move on to the next chunk, if you will. And when all is said and done, we will package it up in a neat little bow with one big motion and move it to full, God willing. So, in order to do that, you have laid out on your meeting materials a recommendation memo that gives you an overview. It says LFO recommendation, House Bill 5036, LFO recommendation, that is labeled as Exhibit 2, and it basically gives you a chart that sort of shows where funding has been in the past. It provides a high level of what's included in the recommendation, and then on page 2, you'll see the various chunks that we're going to be talking about. The current service level, then we'll skip to performance measures, which is another exhibit on OLIS for you, and I will need a I will make a recommendation and need a motion on key performance measures.
And let me just stop you there. Generally, the protocol is that one of the vice chairs makes the motion, and unless we've heard about it ahead of time, it's generally going to be in support of the LFO recommendation. But if you see something as the conversation is unfolding, we are moving towards their final budget. And so if you've got questions or angst about something, the co-chair and I did not visit with a lot of people about this because, frankly, there's not a lot of controversy in a small budget like this. And just for the purpose of expediency, didn't go into a lot of detail.
And then the last thing will be the recommended changes to the appropriation bill. You will notice on the memo that if, you know, it is obviously the committee's prerogative to make changes to the LFO recommendation. So that memo will provide an opportunity for what the motion ought to look like if you wanted to make a change to that at the appropriate time. So if you kind of follow that through, that should sort of help you figure out when and where to flag something and how to bring those concerns forward for purposes of discussion.
Madam Co-Chair, if I could just augment that excellent overview. At the end of this process, we have to select carriers.
Yes.
And there is a carrier who takes the measure to the full Ways and Means Committee, so that would be a member of the full Ways and Means Committee. There would then also be a carrier who would present the measure on the floor of the House and the floor of the Senate. So the carrier who takes it to full Ways and Means doesn't have to be the same person that takes it to the floor of the House, although often it is. So there'll be an opportunity for you to present some of these budgets after their approval by full Ways and Means in your respective chambers.
And generally, those assignments are based on somebody's particular interest, work they've done on the bill, those sorts of things. And last but not least, as we get into some of the more complicated budgets and you're sort of seeing them unfold prior to the committee and you've got questions, I'm going to presume to speak for Chair Gomberg just because we've worked together for a long time. Either one of us are happy to answer those questions.
The other thing that I would note, too, is that we try to get our recommendations up on OLIS at least 2 to 3 days before the work session so that you can review them for just to understand what it is we'll be recommending. And at any time, if you have questions about what we're doing or how we got there, please do not hesitate to give me a call specifically, and I'd be happy to sort of walk you through the reasoning behind those things.
Senator Monroe.
I might as well pipe in here, too. This is another funds budget. There are basically two kinds of budgets, other funds and general fund. Other funds means that it's fee-based and it doesn't compete with schools and things like that, the general fund budget. So when they need more on one of these other funds budgets, we usually give them a bit of a fee increase. This one does not have any fee increase.
And as long as you have the floor, Senator Monroe, is there anything else you'd like to opine about with respect to this budget?
Madam Chair, I would respectfully declare a potential conflict of interest because my daughter-in-law is still the chief financial officer at Portland Meadows.
Noted for the record. All right. Senator Hanson.
I would just have one thing, mostly for my colleagues. On my way to this meeting, the right-hand elevator, as you look on the Senate wing at it on the first floor, I got stuck twice coming down on it. And so I finally bailed out and then got in the other one, went up, and then came down. So that was part of the reason I was late, but I've got to report that in there.
You got into the OSU elevator?
I did. Oh. I got stuck.
Moving right along, Ms. Deister, shall we get into the meat of our work today?
Certainly. All right. And I beg your patience as well, because it's been about 18 months since I've walked anybody through a work session, so bear with me, please. Mm-hmm. All right, so the Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending a budget of $6,443,325 other funds and 14 positions, which equates to 12.27 FTE for the Oregon Racing Commission, House Bill 5036. This is basically equivalent to a current service level budget for the Racing Commission. You will recall that they had no policy option packages in their agency request or governor's budget. So this is a business as usual budget. We made very few adjustments. The one adjustment that we made with the big difference between us and the governor's budget was we took out the state service charge adjustments for the AG and priceless adjustments out, because our process here at LFO is to make those for all agencies at the end of session in a reconciliation bill. So some of those priceless adjustments are going to be dependent upon what happens in the DAS budget, which hasn't been passed yet, for example. So we're going to wait until we know what those adjustments are before we would add any of those kinds of things back in. And again, that would be at the end of session, and it would be added on to whatever we pass here in subcommittee. As Senator Monroe noted, this is an other funds budget, which is supported by fees. It's supported by ADW licensing fees and a portion of the handle on bets. 1% of that goes partially to support racing development, which is a special payment in this budget, and it goes 25% of that 1% handle also goes to support the general fund. So you're not going to see that general fund transfer in this budget, because all we're talking about right now is the dollars that racing itself is spending. So I might have just overcomplicated things.
Okay. Oh, Senator, Representative Reardon.
I'm sorry. It's just been too long since we've done this, my first time through. So is this budget really predicated on the amount of revenue that comes in? Because I can't remember why we go from, you know, $5 million a couple of years ago to 6.2 to 6.4. Why is it increasing so dramatically? And I'm sorry, maybe I could have done more homework.
That's just fine. Co-chairs and Representative Reardon, there are a couple of reasons for that. Part of that reason is indeed changes in the amount of revenue that come into the agency. That's going to partially account for that. And then you have inflationary costs associated with, you know, personal services for employees of the Racing Commission and services and supplies that are adjustments that get figured into the current service level as well. So you basically have, I believe it's 2.5-3% in services and supplies, and then a larger amount for personal services, which is assumed to cover changes in costs associated with employee health insurance, et cetera. So they're going to need more expenditure limitation to make those payments. As I mentioned, adjustments to the current service level, they're truly, LFO is not recommending any for purposes of House Bill 5036. So with that, I believe we would take a motion on the current service level.
Co-Chair Gumberg.
Thank you, Co-Chair. I move the LFO recommendation to House Bill 5036.
Colleagues, you have heard the motion. Are there any questions, any discussion, any objection? So ordered.
Okay, so the next item we're going to move to is performance measures. And again, I would direct your attention to OLIS Exhibit 3. If you pull that up, you will find the performance measure wording itself and the various targets associated with each one. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommendation is to accept the performance measure targets and wording as presented, with the proviso that LFO is recommending additional direction to the agency that when they report on key performance measure number one, which is animal safety, that their narrative in their report also includes the actual number of catastrophic injuries for purposes of additional clarity and transparency when they're reporting on that. Remember, they right now the target is presented as a rate per, you know, number of injuries per 1,000 starts. And so that gives you a rate, but that doesn't give you any context for exactly how many injuries we're talking about. So that is the LFO recommendation with regard to performance measures.
Question.
Senator Hansel.
I'm looking at target 2018, target 2019 on the one that 1.50%, mm-hmm. That's better than 100%, right?
This particular measure is a little bit counterintuitive, I will say, because you'll look at the last reported result and it's 273%, right? And so 1.5% of all starts, of 1,000 starts, only 1.5% ought to be a catastrophic injury. So that is the target for 18 and 19. Did I get that right, Jack, or did I do it backwards?
I'd be happy to have you come forward and just get on the record the clarification. Introduce yourself, please, when you come forward.
Thank you, Chair Johnson and members of the committee. Jack McGrail, Executive Director of the Oregon Racing Commission. The performance measure, as indicated, is 1.5 catastrophic injuries per 1,000 starts. So that would take the total number of horses starting in the race and multiply it out. And that is under the national average, and it is what we hope to achieve.
And so what we're asking for is the actual number of fatalities or catastrophic starts
to be reported in the narrative as they're talking about this. This is,
Representative Noble.
Thank you. If I'm reading the note right, we're coming off of 0.55 injuries per 1,000 starts?
Correct. So what your last reported result shows is that they did 273% better than their target.
So my follow-up would be is, I mean, I understand it's below the national average, but as far as what our expectations were, is 1.5 still
relevant?
A goal.
Co-chairs and Representative Noble, I believe it's a pretty good goal because of the timing of the races. Remember, this is done on a state fiscal year, which is July 1 to June 30th. Their racing season is over the summer months predominantly, except for Portland Meadows. And so what you will see is that at the county race meets, summer in June, summer in August, and so you basically break up that county race meet across two fiscal years. So 1.5 continues to be sort of a reason. If you have,
if you're talking a rate of injury, that shouldn't change based on when it happens. Mm-hmm. You're just, unless I'm totally missing, maybe it's just learning the sport a little bit more. And if we're coming off of half an injury per 1,000 starts, why is our goal 1.5 injuries? That's the question. And
Mr. McGraw.
Representative Noble, we were just very fortunate in this particular biennium. The next it will probably not be in as low as it was. We've had some, a lot of it is just good fortune. But you can have a race meet or a race in which several horses go down and have to be euthanized, and that'll really skew the figures. Especially in a jurisdiction like ours, where there are so few races to begin with, so the numbers can really get skewed easily. And I suspect that next time we report, it will be, hopefully it'll be around 1.5, but it's just very, very difficult to keep that number.
Co-Chair Gumbel. Co-Chair Gumbel.
Thank you, Co-Chair. Just rather than this very good 1 year, can you give us a sense of what a five-year trend might look like for this performance measure?
Well, the trend, Co-Chair Gumbel, the trend has gone down over the last few years, and you know, we could point to a number of safety initiatives, including we had a track man come in and review this fair meet tracks, a very reputable person who was willing to do it at short money, but he came in and reviewed all the tracks and the consistency of those tracks. We've had starting gate issues that we've addressed. Starting gate is a very, very important and dangerous part of the race, actually, because if the gates don't function properly, horses and riders can be hurt. So we've done a number of things to increase the safety of the sport. The national statistics are really what we go by, because that is a bigger database. And when you're dealing with jurisdictions like New York or Kentucky or Florida, where they have thousands and thousands of races per year, it's an easier way to figure out where you should be in that mix. And that's where the 1.5 comes in. I don't know that we're going to be as low as we were this year. I mean, that's an extraordinarily low number. And I don't want to suggest that that's the number that we're going to achieve every year, because that is not, is probably not going to happen in this sport.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. McGrew. You might as well just stay there if there are any other questions. Gentlemen, you okay?
Yeah, and I appreciate the indulgence. Part of it is the process of knowing when and how. I just wanted some clarification.
Absolutely. Cool.
Okay. Ms. Dyster, carry on.
Well, I believe
we're at a point where the chair would entertain a motion on the performance measures.
Well, thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I would move the LFO recommendations on key performance measures.
Colleagues, you have heard Co-Chair Gomberg's motion on the key performance measures, which is the LFO recommendation. Any questions? Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Okay.
Ms. Dyster.
Now we're looking at recommended changes to the appropriation bill. And you will see on OLIS a -1 amendment under amendments in today's materials. And you will see that amendment basically changes the amount on line 6. Section 1, line 6 of the House Bill 5036 to the amount $6,443,325 to conform with the LFO recommendation. for the biennium beginning July 1st, 2017, and that would be the maximum limit for payment of expenses from fees, monies, or other revenues, including miscellaneous receipts, but excluding lottery funds and federal funds collected or received by the Oregon Racing Commission. That's a fancy way of saying other funds expenditure limitation.
Co-Chair Gomberg.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I would move the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 5036.
Colleagues, you have heard Co-Chair.
To as recommended by the LFO. I'm reading the motion. I would move the Dash 1 amendments to 5036.
Colleagues, you have heard Co-Chair Gomberg's motion. Any questions? Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Ms. Deister.
Okay.
Bring us home.
Okay, so again, you are recommending, given all of those items, you are recommending a budget to House Bill 5036 of $6,443,325, 14 positions, 12.27 FTE, and the LFO is recommending that the bill in that amount be moved to the full committee of Ways and Means.
Co-Chair Gomberg.
Madam Co-Chair, I move House Bill 5036 as amended to the full committee with a do pass as amended recommendation.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion. Any questions? Any discussion? Yes, questions. Senator Monroe.
Just a statement. This commission is critical to an industry in Oregon that is particularly important in rural areas, but actually all across the state. Thousands of people breed horses, work horses, and put on races at various county commissions around the state and at Portland Meadows, of course. And the commission does an outstanding job, as you can see by the safety record, does an outstanding job of meeting this very important need for the state of Oregon. The state of Oregon would be less of a place to be without the Racing Commission and the horse racing industry.
Senator Hansel.
Madam Chair, because of my colleague's potential conflict of interest, I would be happy to carry the bill if you wish.
Thank you. And listening to Senator Monroe, out of an abundance of caution, I should probably declare a potential conflict of interest. I help with the purse on one of the races at the Tillamook County Fair. So now we got it all, I think. Any other comments? We're on the final motion. You've heard the motion. We've had no objection or no questions. We've had discussion. Any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. And Senator Hansel has volunteered to take the bill both to full and to the floor on the Senate side, and then we need a floor carrier on the House side. Representative Reardon, welcome to horse racing.
So this be one of the times that carrying the pony would be inappropriate.
See?
Carry the pony, the pony carries you. We got it. And colleagues, just so you know what we're talking about, the nomenclature pony is the summary of the committee's action that will be carried to full. And if you are in the position of carrying one of these budget bills to a floor, Representative Reardon, you will have the benefit of a distilled summary and also Ms. Deister sitting next to you on the floor in case a technical question comes up, or she'd be in the side aisle or wherever you want her, but available to you on the floor should you need assistance.
I'm happy to carry this. I view it as a learning opportunity for me, so look forward to
Some of us have been here a long time, and every day is a learning opportunity. All right. Ms. Deister, is there anything else that we need for today's proceedings?
Madam Co-Chair, not for today, I believe. I think at some point this week you're going to hear from PUC. I'm not sure exactly.
So can't be tomorrow.
No, maybe that's next week, I'm thinking.
Time flies next week.
Yes, it does. So, yeah, right. I'm good for today.
Colleagues, anything for the good of the order? There being none, we're adjourned. All right.
Okay, we've got about a week to figure out.